This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
The following contains graphic depictions of body horror. You're listening to Tales from the Guild Shadows of Paradurn. This is part 36 of our story. If you've missed the other parts, you can find them on freefm.org.nz or on your favourite podcast distributor. When we last left our heroes, their trek to reach Vanguard's Hold continues, seeing the group enter Helector's Grove, encountering many strange and wondrous plants contained within. You continue on with the bush bashing. Can I get another 2d6 and tell me the lowest? Reroll if the result is 3.
Okay. 1!
Oh, fun.
For who?
Me.
Oh.
Can I get...
Oh, boy.
...another set of perception checks?
Oh, boy. That was terrible that time.
Oh, I rolled a nat 20. I can't believe you're making me roll at disadvantage. You're so mean to me.
That's you're the one that chose to play a human.
I wanted the extra feet. That's an 11.
4.
Yes.
I don't see squat this time.
No.
So, how long until we get shot in the butt by an arrow?
I have the eyes of an eagle and the ears of a hawk, whatever it is. The ears of a fox.
And as you say that, well, this is about half an hour later, you step forward and trip on this thorny vine that's grown across the walkway.
Ah, bloody hell!
And you feel it wrap around your ankle and calf.
Ah, bloody hell!
So, Amadeus, you watch Tanwyn trip, this plant wrap itself around one of her calves and retract, hanging her in the air by her left ankle.
Oh, I will...
Amadeus, get it!
How far up is she hanging in the tree?
I don't like being upside down!
She's like 5-6 meters up.
Okay.
Also, Tanwyn, I'm going to make you roll your own pain.
Oh, no. Okay.
Could you roll me 1d4 and add 1?
3.
You take 3 points of piercing damage.
Yeah.
Whilst Amadeus is trying to figure out what's going on, could I also get you to roll a dexterity saving throw for Batic?
No, not Batic. Does he have any ups, downs?
He has a -2 to dexterity.
Yeah, I thought so, because he's a big-ass pachyderm. Ooh, 0.
There is a troubled trumpet and a thud as there is now a pachyderm hanging upside down by 2 of its ankles, and Magnus's cocoon is on the ground behind you.
I start looking to see if I'm getting attacked by the...
Armadus, get us down!
I cast Mage Hand and start untying the ropes to let them down.
You can start trying.
It's not a rope, it's a vine.
Vine.
It's grabbing me.
Yeah.
Can I draw my sword upside down and start slashing at the vine at my ankle?
You can. Give me an attack roll at disadvantage.
Yeah.
Because you are upside down. And I will also get... Amadeus to give me slide a hand check using your spellcasting modifier.
Nice. That is vaguely good for me.
7.
13.
You attempt to, but the thorns are at this point now starting to... What type of armor is Tanwyn in again?
She is in splint mail.
So the vines at this point have started to dig in, finding gaps between the splints and are now starting to bite into her flesh, and it is... hard to pull out, because as you do, you notice that the thorns are ever so slightly barbed.
Do these vines count as creatures? Or are they...
They do, but you don't really have time to appreciate that thought.
As I get flicked by it as well.
Yeah, I'm sorry, it rolled really high on its stealth. Could I get you to make me a dexterity saving throw as you're attempted to get grabbed?
Yeah, I can do that. 6.
Could you likewise roll me a d4 and add 1?
2.
You take 2 points of piercing damage and hanging upside down 6 meters in the air.
I want to try and trace the vine back to where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
I want to try and find the heart of the plant.
Give me a perception check.
Hey, I like using the darkness rules. They make things complicated.
Yeah, they sure do. I can't find where the plant is.
Except when you have a tiefling in the party with dark vision.
Yes.
Which is why you're picking on that one instead of me.
She was also the one that asked the question.
I know.
Where are these coming from?
So you say that you watch as five people just apparate out of the shadows.
Ah!
They are wearing normal clothes, but you can tell that they're made from like plant material, things like cotton and stuff.
Could you let us down? The blood's going to my head and it's not fun.
My ankle hurts.
One of them steps forward, this rather very well-built elven man with dark bark-colored skin. Absolutely no hair. Just full bald. But he is covered in these glowing green tattoos.
Please, 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 I want to get down, I want to get down.
What brings a few Imperials into the forests?
We're trying to get to Vanguard's hold as quickly as possible. There's problems with the dragons. Please let us down. Please let us down. My head's swimming, and I'm no good at swimming.
Yeah, sure. And he just motions, and you watch as three of the that are with him. One is this human woman with just, like, seemingly naturally green hair. Another is this dragonborn that looks like they are made out of plant materials, so more like a tree dragon.
So kind of like Marv, the swamp dragon that we met.
Yeah. Kind of.
Except a forest dragon, it's not a swamp dragon.
Another is a weirdly normal-ass gnome. With a red cap, of course, but...
Gnomes just fit in anywhere.
Go to my friend's first place.
They all simultaneously just wave their arms, and this ring of glyphs around their left wrist glow, and these thorny vines lower you all down, unwind, and then vanish into
the... I go and check on the Magnus cocoon just to make sure it's fine.
Why are you traveling with a giant silkworm?
That's our friend.
He's currently experiencing technical difficulties.
He's doing some kind of transformation. Don't look at him too closely. He's shy.
And like that's a human, not a silkworm.
The elf has this look of, what the hell? Like, he looks at the human beside him. It's just like, I was unaware that humans went through metamorphosis.
She like, shakes her head.
She's just like, it is because we don't.
Well, we're done here. Anyway, hi, I'm Amadeus. This is my friend Tanlin.
Hi. Well met, fair druids.
As my friend said, we're trying to get to Vanguard's Hold. Quick smart, because dragons.
And we've gotten a little bit turned around. We would appreciate any and all assistance with getting back on the correct path.
And you chose to walk through the sacred grove. Aren't there roads out there?
Yes,
but not where we were coming from.
Yeah. We kind of ended up in the middle of nowhere because our ride left us.
There's been troubles with the dragons.
I see.
We apologize if we have committed any kind of offense against this forest, but it was the shorter of the two routes.
All the druids just kind of look back along the path of destruction that you guys have carved.
Sorry about that. We are not wood people.
You don't say.
I do say, and I apologize.
So I don't really know much about the druids here. And she's desperately trying to just grasp onto anything. How long have you all lived here?
4,000 years.
Wow!
Or rather, me specifically... The rest...
That's a really long time.
I have no idea. I lose count after a few hundred years.
That's crazy. So you must know the forest pretty well then.
You could say that.
That's great, because the thing is we need someone who knows the forest really well to help us get out of it as fast as possible. Preferably on the side of the Vanguard Hold.
I see.
We wouldn't be in here if we had any other choice, believe you me.
Mm-hmm.
We know to leave you in peace. It's drilled into us at base camp. You don't have to worry about the Vanguard suddenly coming down here and doing, you know, forest things.
Anyway!
Do your people still worship Helecta?
Yes.
Aye, Helecta's out and about. Please. Well, she's mostly in the grove, to be fair. This is Helecta's grove, after all. But, you know...
She doesn't actually dwell here, but yes.
What? I did not know that. Because Artifora does live at Vanguard's Hold, and Marna Dawn does live in Alodwarna, and I kind of thought that a place called Helecta's Grove, Helecta would live here, but, you know, it takes all types, I suppose.
Uh-huh.
She's out and about.
I believe this is the point in the conversation where I apologize. Even for Dernia, we are considered weird.
Quite frankly, I consider anyone that doesn't live
amongst the druid circles to be strange.
We are exceptionally so.
Okay, you don't need to tell him that just off the bat. If he thinks everybody is weird, you don't need to go ahead and say, oh, we're weirder, though.
Anyway.
Anyway, we're getting off topic.
Thistle, Bramble, go let the harvesters know not to touch our guests.
Harvesters?
Yes, one of the three druid circles.
Okay, why are they called harvesters?
I can guess.
Because they are the circle that represent the end of life.
It's kind of the implications in the name.
I was hoping it wouldn't be so.
Bark and root, please go inform the sowers the same.
I think I know what they're all about.
Yeah, if you guys want to give me history or religion checks, you may do so.
Oh yeah, sure. I will go with religion.
17 history.
And come on. Three religion.
You know nothing.
Nothing. I know a lot about Ataflora.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Amadeus. Yeah, no. The three circles of that tend to the Helector's Grove are well documented. There is the Circle of Sowers, who are in charge of starting new life. The Circle of Harvesters.
In charge of ending it.
Mm-hmm. And then there is the Circle of Tenders, which are in charge of nurturing and protecting it.
Yeah.
That is the simplification of their roles. For example, the Harvesters will do controlled forest fires and all that kind of stuff. They will also wipe out any sick plant. They all kind of do bits and pieces of each other's roles, but those are the...
They intersect, but they all in very specific ways.
Yeah, the tenders are also the ones that will... Typically are the ones that will go to the Grove's defense first.
Makes sense.
So in all likelihood, you are interacting with... Considering he said 4,000 years old...
Yeah.
Probably the head of the Circle of the Tenders.
All right.
So what was your name then?
I suppose in common tongue it is Oak.
Oh, it's a pleasure to meet you, Oak. I'm Tanwyn. You already know, Armideus, and the silkworm there is Magnus. If you prefer, I can de-summon the old Elkafint and just carry him, if you want less kind of tree damage.
Plants are fine. They will live.
Okay.
It is a part of natural life. In fact, quite frankly, a few of them could do with a bit of harm and learning how to grow a bit stronger.
Whoa.
Yeah. Indeed.
I like the sound of that. Sometimes you have to go through hardship in order to grow.
Yeah, and the four others have very quickly just run off to where they have been sent to go. So you're looking for the way out, then?
We're looking for the way to Vanguard's Hold, to be specific.
So the base of the mountain, then?
Yes, Wes.
Are we even facing the right direction? I got a little bit turned around.
From where you entered, what was the cardinal direction of Vanguard's Hold?
It was kind of northwest. Northwest.
His eyes flutter a bit as he figures out where direction-wise that would be. And where in the mountains is Vanguard's Hold? It's right in the center of the kind of branch.
It's kind of right in the middle of the claws. You know, it's kind of right in the middle.
I know where to take you then.
Much obliged.
Thank you.
He looks at the closest tree and, as if he's checking something. Nature checks at this point.
Okay. 8.
13.
He's looking at the moss. Moss grows on the south side of trees.
Yeah. Yeah. I was hoping to get into that with my survival check, but I rolled too badly.
Right. If you keep heading north, if you keep heading in the direction that has the moss on the trees facing towards you...
Okay.
You'll eventually hit the mountains.
Okay, I know I have heard that before. It was in one of the seminars that you didn't go to.
Yeah.
Magnus was the one listening. I was mostly just in the back. I was having a nap. I heard something about moss and I thought, oh. Sorry, Oak.
It is fine.
I kind of didn't expect to be in this situation.
So what were you saying about the dragons?
They're all kind of converging in a single location and... for purposes which we think are quite nefarious, potentially.
Are the dragons planning on taking over the world or something?
Not all of them. I think they might be getting controlled by something.
Yep.
That is a concerning statement of immeasurable proportions.
And now you see why we were trying to cut through your forest.
We have information, and I don't know how much of that information Vanguard's Hold knows.
Aye.
So
we're trying to get there as quickly as possible. What's going on? Has anything come down the mountain? Any kind of missives or nothing?
We barely communicate with the outside world.
That's a shame.
People come here for refuge. Mm. So, you know, they're trying to escape what's happening out there. We tend to avoid what's going on. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, it's fine. I interrupt people all the time. It's fine. No, has anything weird... Well, aside from us, has anything weird been happening in the forest?
Oh, wait. Do you have a dragon in your forest?
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh, in 4,000 years.
I mean, there was Bramble, but he hardly counts.
No different.
And has anything weird, unusual been going on?
What do you think about those two moons?
We don't see the moons. Wait, what do you mean two of them?
Ah, how many of them do you think there are?
There's one. There's only ever been one.
Oh, this is good to talk to a sane person.
Well, what are you on about? What do you mean two moons?
Yeah, well,
there's a false moon in the sky, and we're not sure what's going on.
What is happening out there?
You know, you came into the woods to get away from it all, so I don't want to burden you with it, but it is, you know, kind of world-ending.
It is also my responsibility to protect this place.
Okay, basically, due to, and I'll give Tanwin an amused look, due to reasons, there is a extraplanar entity that has become curious about our little corner of the multiverse.
And we don't think it's got good intentions.
No, well, we don't think anybody named Kavort the Conqueror has... You know, good intentions.
I wouldn't say so.
So...
Oh, Electa, give me strength.
We could all do with a bit of strength at the moment. We're not walking while we're doing this, right? We're not just standing around.
Yeah.
We're like...
Suffice to say, the excrement is hitting the air redistribution device.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So,
I'm not sure I follow, but I think I know what you mean.
It's bad.
If you want to come...
Right.
If you maybe want to come with us, you could maybe have a chat to Atfora. And well, Marna Dorn was at Vanguard Hold a few days ago, so she might still be there.
Well, given the current situation, she also might be elsewhere.
Maybe it would be good to hear from, you know, the druids and... What I'm saying is, if you want to come with us, the invitation's open and we'll introduce you to... the people in the hold, if you think that's what you want to do, Miss Sir.
Normally I would be opposed to such things, but what you have just informed me of is outlandish and absurd, and if it has even the slightest amount of truth to it, has dire consequences on more than just your lands, but potentially the Grove.
I'm kind of surprised that nobody has talked to you yet.
We kind of keep to ourselves, and unless bothered, it is impossible to find us amongst the Grove, if you hadn't noticed.
Oh.
Yeah, and I apologize for bringing outlandish and absurd to your door, but it's kind of what we deal with.
It's kind of bigger than all of us at this point.
I pity everybody you ever interact with.
Yes, so do I.
Right, I... was fully intending on just letting you walk into whatever carnivorous plants were going to eat you on the way out.
Wow, that is so nice to hear, Oak. Seriously. Wow.
But I have changed my mind. I am coming with the three of you.
Yeah.
He whistles, and a familiar-looking chipmunk launches itself out of the tree. Go tell... He looks at the both of you and starts whispering to the... chipmunk, and it just launches itself. And you see this flap of skin pop out as it's some sort of sugar glider type creature.
Whoa!
And it glides off into the tree line.
I haven't seen nothing like that ever before in my life.
Good luck finding a name!
Oh, you talked to that thing, didn't you?
I nearly stepped on him.
Yeah. But yes, we did.
He talked to us first.
And
to be fair.
We almost gave him an existential crisis by asking what his name was.
We're very friendly.
He has a name. I won't say it because it's...
personal?
He's a fae.
Ah, better.
He's more than likely playing a trick on you.
Okay, well, it's good that we're too stupid to get played tricks on.
Hey! Speak for yourself.
This is going to be a long journey.
I hope not. We've got to get to Vanguard Hold as soon as possible.
I strenuously apologize for being exposed... for a long period of time, to us.
Yes, about that. Let's make this quick. He claps his hands together, and you all feel base just shift around you as the High Priest of Helecta uses his control over Helecta's Grove.
Cool.
And shifts you all to the edge of the forest.
Cool!
nice.
As you guys are now at the foot of the mountain.
That was both weird and one of the most awesome things I have ever experienced.
Oh, I think I'm going to hurl.
I don't typically do that.
Okay.
But I feel that expediency is...
No, you wouldn't happen to know something like haste or similar, would you?
No, but...
No, don't worry about it. We're nearly there. Look, we just got to climb up the mountain. I can see the spires from here. It's easy. We just got to go up.
You say to the near 70, 80 degree mountainside.
You've gone up loads of times before. I've seen you.
On Grung Gear back.
Yeah, on the side of the mountain that has roads on it that zigzag their way up the mountain.
How far away are we from the hold, roughly?
About half an hour straight up.
No. The mountain range is about twice the height of Mount Parangia, and it takes 4 or 5 hours to get up Mount Parangia, depending on the track.
Aye. But, you know, if you go straight up, it's faster.
Is it within 152 meters?
No. So the Artiforer's Claw, and more specifically where Vanguard's hold is about 2 kilometers up in the air.
You know, I am once again regretting the fact that I've skipped cardio day. We've passed leg day at this point.
Well, there's only one way to go, and that's up.
This, I believe, is again where I step in. You said something about dismissing the pachyderm.
Oh, I can do that. And Tanwyn's going to bodily haul Magnus's cocoon off of Batek and onto her shoulder. And
just lay the silkworm on the ground.
It's fine, I can carry him as strong as...
And she's... Yes, but I'm going to need him on the ground for what's about to happen next.
Okay. She snaps her fingers and Batek disappears, and then she puts him on the ground, lays him out.
Right. If you would both move back 5 meters or so.
Okay.
And you watch as his body... You hear the sounds of bones snapping, joints dislocating, and flesh tearing as he begins to shift and change into a Quetzalcoatl. Which, if you don't know what that is, it's the biggest flying dinosaur ever. He is bigger than a typical Quetzalcoatl. He's about 15 meters tall and about 6 or 7 long from head to tail.
Wow.
He hops over, lowers himself down. Now, if the two of you would kindly get on my back.
Well, you don't have to tell me twice.
Yep, no. Let's go. We bring Magnus with us.
Magnus is going to get carried in his claws.
Okay, better than his mouth, I suppose.
Yes. And Oak, the Quetzalcoatl, launches himself into the air, and you guys are not going to have to spend the next day or so climbing a sheer cliff face. Good job on spooking the Elder Druid enough to help you.
Yay!
Once again, awareness coming in clutch.
Something like that. Yeah, no, you guys have gotten the attention of the druid that turns into dinosaurs.
Well, I love the attention of druids that turn into dinosaurs.
Once again, we have instilled the fear of the weird into the locals, because that seems to be our raison d'etre of, we go to a place, we talk to the locals, and through sheer info dumping, we scare them into fear.
With the help of Oak, you managed to, or rather, because of Oak, what would once have been a 10, 11 hour trip, if not greater, because of the sheer steepness of this side of the mountain, is done in about 10, 15 minutes.
Given that we've been told that the hold is in lockdown, what does it look like once we start getting close?
That is a good point. As you get close, there is this prismatic sheen of a powerful magic barrier that is encapsulating the hold in this giant magical bubble.
I still had the flares on us, so once we start getting within cooey, I'll call out Oak. Just going to send up a flare so that they know we're friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll launch up one of the green flares just to let them know not to shoot us.
You watch as in comparison to the barrier, a small hole opens up. It's big enough for, does have to like full on tuck his wings in to get through, but he does It is big enough for him and you plus Magnus to...
Well, the three of us plus him. How's Tanwyn feeling with the heights, by the way?
Bad. Fair enough. Her eyes are closed.
Yeah. No saddle. Nothing to hang on to. And Oak lands in the main courtyard of this massive fortress. And you guys are greeted by several armored figures with shields and spears, with both the head of the vanguards and the head of the Dernia giving orders.
It's like, hey, it's us! It's us! Please don't kill the lovely druid friend.
We need to talk to Artifora now.
Basically, as soon as sight confirmation of you two has happened, Amethyst does give the stand down order, and as the two of you hop off, Oak does revert back to his elven form, and it sounds just as horrifying as it did going the other way.
Amethyst, this is Oak. He is one of the druids. He's, well, one of the druids. He's from Helector's Grove. He's here for talking about what's going on. We need to see Artifora now. We've got information about the dragons. Not here.
Yeah.
Right. Why is there only two of you? Why do you have a bag?
I gestured to the... That's Magnus.
He's going...
What in the hell has happened?
I don't know. He's going...
He's turning into a... We don't know.
He's turning into a butterfly or something. Not important right now.
What?
I don't know.
Let's just...
I've never seen anybody do that before.
Okay. She calls over somebody. Take the bag to the medical ward.
Be gentle. That's Magnus. He's got a brain in there, probably.
Anyway, that's
please,
the least
please.
Concerning of our problems right
please,
now.
Please, the dragons. Amethyst.
Right. Yes. What do you mean you have information?
Not
here. Where's Protavnik?
Not here.
Right. Yes. Oak, thank you for bringing...
He's aware of some of what's going on. Considering that it might affect the Grove, he wanted in on the discussions.
Wait, you said Oak.
Hey.
Oh, we point to Oak. Him.
You've run into the High Priest of Helecta.
You're the High Priest of Helecta?
Oh, he's a very nice man.
Oh, that explains that then. Okay.
Anyway, yes, okay.
It's us. Of course we ran into our High Priest of Helecta, because it's us.
I shouldn't be surprised, but I am.
Anyway, so...
Not
what?
Here!
No, that's what I'm saying. Let's head inside for the love of Artifora.
You're listening to Tales from the Guild, Shadows of Paradigm.
Okay, the four of you head towards Artifora's nest, which is...
Strangely empty?
Oh, yes, starkly more empty. Aside from Artifora and his five wives, there is no other dragons in the hold.
Wow.
Oh, I'm so glad it didn't affect Artifora.
Yeah, okay.
And the wives. he's here. And
yes, he is in his human form, pacing back and forwards along his nest. You get the idea that he's doing it a little bit for dramatization, because it's a bit hard to pace in a giant dragon form.
Yeah.
Artifora, sorry.
As you guys get close, you do hear him muttering, "What is happening? Where's my children? What is going on? Why can't I get in contact with any of them? Why am I..."
We have the answer to that question. Hi.
Sir.
It's us.
It's...
Again.
An honor to see you again.
Why am I not surprised that it involves you two? Three. I swear there's supposed to be three of you.
He's currently a cocoon in medical right now, but that's irrelevant to the situation.
Okay. First, we would like to introduce you to... Oh, I'm sure you've already met.
Yes, I'm aware of the High Priestess
Helecta. We ran into him on the way back here.
He's been very helpful.
You went through Helecta's Grove.
It was the shortest way to get back here. Anyway, that's somewhat superfluous. So we have answers to what I am sure is a whole bunch of questions, but we're also probably going to generate a whole bunch more questions.
It's not pretty or fun, but we do know what's going on with your children.
Good news, the gold problem is no longer a problem. The bad news, the dragons in the world are now a problem.
It has now become a dragon problem, eh?
How did a ghoul problem turn into a dragon problem?
So, you know, I apologize, Oak, sir, this must be a lot of information all at once.
No, go on.
So you know that the ghoul king was wearing a crown that granted him dominion over all of the ghouls?
Yes, I am aware of that.
Well, as it turns out, whoever wears it gains control over their kin.
Aye.
If worn by a ghoul, control over all ghouls. If worn by a dragon, and I gesture to the rather empty nests.
Oh, my poor sweet Protavnik, what have you done?
He's wearing the crown.
He's wearing the...
And doing this as I open my book and show him the image.
Artifora's eyes just widen in horror.
Oh, you could have given him a bit of warning.
Oh, my poor sweet boy.
Yes, turns out even dragons can be bad at parenting. and can also be subject to bullying.
Really, really good to see that, Tuatha Fora.
Yeah, I'm kind of stressed right now. I'm sorry.
As you guys are talking, one of Artifora's wives, a red and orange and gold dragon, had transformed into a human form and had walked towards the group, hearing her child's name being mentioned.
Oh, God, I'm about to be slapped.
you're literally about to get burned alive.
Sees the picture in the book, stops, and she just faints.
Oh,
I'm
going
to close the book. Anyway, so...
I understand that this is a lot of information to take in all at once, my lord. Time really is of the essence, and...
How briefed have you been on the Cavort the Conqueror situation?
No, I don't think that's...
We are...
happening right now.
Fully aware of everything going on. At least, Cavort, considering...
Cavort gave the crown to Henris, who gave the crown to the Ghoul King, and the crown is now being used by Podevnik.
It's an evil device.
From what I understand, I believe the original plan was to use the ghouls as an army, and I'm assuming that with us managing to deal to the ghoul problem, that Henris has pivoted to using the dragons as a possible army.
Do you or Amethyst or anyone know exactly where they've been going? We were seeing them heading kind of northwest, but we're not sure exactly where.
Because, yeah, we've kind of been out of the loop for the last 3 or 4 days.
Amethyst speaks up. Yes, we are aware of where they're gathering. They are gathering in Fracture, which is in the kind of north-northwestern area of Paradigm. It is situated on this lake that at one point in time didn't exist, but it now does, as it broke the town in two. It's splitting the town, which is why the area is now called Fracture, with Fracture North and Fracture South.
Fracture? There's nothing there. It's just a holiday town. Tourists.
One of our connections with the gentleman we met during the period in which Tanwyn's command has been informed that stuff's going south, so he's informing various communities that we're responsible for that Cavort might be throwing his weight around slightly.
Oh, that's just... Amethyst is rubbing her temples at this point. That is just what we need. The dwellers panicking and losing their minds.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to add that to the list of stuff going on right now, but...
How is it that every time you three go anywhere, things get accomplished... But I swear, you are just magnets for bad luck.
I wish I had an answer for you.
I'm no good at paperwork, so maybe it just feels like there's a lot because you have to correct a lot of our paperwork.
I don't have the mental capacity to entertain
usual shenanigans right now?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry about that.
So we have a vindictive, angry dragon summoning every dragon in the world to mutilate them and then turn them into an army to conquer them.
To be fair, I can only verify the mutilating part because I had a chat with the guy that gave me my book, and I am only assuming the latter based on...
We think so, yes.
Based on context clues, yes.
We think so, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Everything's... Who am I kidding? Nothing is fine. What in the hell is... I know what in the hell is happening. She is standing there trying to formulate word. Hand gestures are starting and stopping and just...
We have officially broken our Director General. Didn't of being us.
I would like to look at Oak and kind of go... Kind of give him a ooh expression.
I get the feeling that you three have been at the center of a lot of strange and potentially worrying things going on.
The comment about us being bad luck is not incorrect.
It's not like we try.
It's not deliberate, we swear.
Right.
But wherever we go and whatever we do...
We fix it every time.
And we have a 200% success rate.
And Amethyst, I'm sure that with a little bit of help from the rest of the journey, we can fix it this time. I know we can. We have to try.
No. We are not doing anything.
I think we've just been voluntold into doing something.
You are going to be dragging that bag that you call Magnus, if that is in fact him.
It is.
Across the country, and are going to try and talk. You guys did befriend Podevnik, right?
Well, he didn't kill us when he had the chance, so I'm going to say yes.
You know, I really thought we did. I really thought he was our good friend.
Well then, you wonderful...
wonderful people are our only hope at stopping him from doing something that
he will regret.
I doubt he would regret it, but I don't think the rest of us would like the consequences of what happens.
I think he'll regret it as soon as he gets that evil crown off of his head. I felt the pull of it. It was not fun. It's not like you're yourself when you have it on. It's like your worst version of yourself. Everything that you might ever have felt, it all feels possible all of a sudden. Every evil thing that you ever thought.
Right. Well, in the morning, we're heading off. Oak, you and I presumably have things to talk about, considering you brought them here.
I thank you once again, sir.
Nice to meet you.
Right. I'm going to leave before the two of you give me an aneurysm.
Okay.
She and Amethyst and Oak just turn around and leave, leaving you with the dragon god, who has this troubled look on his face.
Have we seen him as a human before?
Yes.
Yes, during the conference.
Oh, sure.
His humanoid form is basically just, he is a prismatic dragonborn.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I remember now.
With a tail. For whatever reason, dragonborn don't naturally have tails.
It's because they keep stepping on him.
Oh, no.
I like to think they've got little tails, a little one.
Oh, no. I don't know if that's better or worse. Anyway.
And when they're happy, it wags like a duck.
No, not little ducktails. Oh, no. But, yeah, Artiforo is standing there with a greatly pained look on his face. Like, he wants to do more.
Is there anything you can tell us about Pradavnet that might help us bring him back to himself?
As far as I was aware, he was a kind-hearted child.
Oh, he is. He's a...
Nothing more than to be accepted. And try as I and his mother might, due to his unique appearance, he was often ostracized by our other children.
Speaking from experience, I can very much sympathize with what he went through. It is not a very pleasant experience.
What about good times? What about good things? Anything to remind him? Anything to talk to him about?
I think that would be his time that he spent with the three of you. Quite frankly, since he has been working with you three, he's been the happiest I have seen him in his 100 years of life.
Artiforo, you're the lord of the hold and a god on earth, and I have to say that is a really sad thing to say about your own child.
I'm aware. I tried, and I know this is not an excuse. Quite frankly, it is a frustration of mine that I could not be involved more, but I am bound still by the laws of divinity, and I can, even though he is my own child, I can only involve myself with the affairs of mortals so much.
We'll do our best, my god. We'll do our very best to bring him home. He's a good friend of ours.
Yeah, we like the guy.
We like him very much.
Ironically, before he up and left, we were going to try and take him out for drink and pastries, because he hadn't had pastries before, and we were going to correct that, because
he's our friend.
Yeah, and we are weird like that. So.
And I think that weird uniqueness might be exactly what we need in this moment.
Look, I know we must seem like magnets for lightning rods for incredibly weird and bad luck, but we're also pretty good at
solving that luck.
Fighting through it and actually coming up with a positive thing. Outcome, you know. So I'm hoping we can solve this and save Pradavnik in the process, because still a friend. Anyway,
I hope he remembers that.
Yeah.
I cannot do much, as
laws of divinity are restrictive.
We understand.
Yes, but I am still a protector god, and it is my responsibility to protect this land. And if, well, say I were to add some blessings and protections to a few of my subjects and give them some extra ability so that they may be able to protect this land, I'd be within my realms of divinity.
I love me a good loophole.
I do as well. Technically, this is meddling. Technically, this isn't. He full-on just cracks his knuckles. Well then, first, let's give you both, and what's his name, Magnus?
Magnus, yes.
Let's give you three a bit of a mental shield. No more being swayed by magical crowns and the like.
Oh, well, that's good to hear.
Secondly, I suppose your weapons might need the power of dragon claws to break said cursed items. That would definitely help protect the land, wouldn't it?
I've
already tried to smash the stupid thing.
It's the first thing we tried, actually. So being able to smash it would be lovely.
It would be lovely. It would be very protective.
And being immune to dragon fear would probably go a long way in solving this situation.
Well, given the amount of dragons that we're about to run into, can do. Yes, please.
Well, I suppose that is adding protections. I am not meddling and hoping that you save my son.
Of course
and
not.
All of, I do want to preface, and all of my other children as well. I don't have favorites.
We were never going to suggest...
We were never going to suggest...
That you had a favorite.
We do, though. It's Pradavnik.
You're allowed to have favorites. You're not the parent.
Yes.
Right now, in all seriousness, my children are in danger, and it is both myself and my wives are, quite frankly, losing our minds over the fact that we cannot do anything to help our own children.
I know you would much rather go yourselves, and what parent would, but we haven't failed yet, especially if it saves Pradavnik, and as a great byproduct, the rest of Paradern and maybe the world. Cool, let's go poke it with a stick and succeed. Because we're great at that.
Oh, we're great at that.
Look, we are, I'm not going to know, we are three of the weirdest people you'll ever go meet, but we're good at our jobs, and it's why Amethyst hasn't killed us yet. Because let's face it, I'm sure she's considered that option.
I don't want to think about her like that.
One final gift. He reaches up and plucks one of the small spikes from his head.
Ooh.
And it grows into a blade that very much looks like it is intended to be thrown.
Ooh.
If you get the chance, stab Henris with this.
With pleasure.
You do not have to tell us twice.
He will be marked as the enemy of all dragons.
Ooh, that sounds like a kick in the teeth.
And as much as Kvort's magic, I'm sure, is powerful, let's just say dragon magic with dragons... a different story.
Fair enough. I will not argue the point.
Going to be a bit vulnerable here, I hope. I am hoping that my magic is stronger than his.
Sir, I have every faith in the world that it is.
I am glad that you have faith in that.
You power everything that I am, and I'm not being facetious.
It's where her magic juju comes from.
And it hasn't failed me yet, and it won't fail me now.
Mm.
And I'll take the knife from
her.
Anyway, we're apparently leaving in the morning, so...
Yes.
I'll look at his unconscious wife, and you should probably see to... who I'm assuming is Pradavnik's mother.
Her.
And...
yes.
I'm sorry for the image, but I needed to get a point across.
We will update you as soon as we can.
Yes. And thankfully, if once this is all resolved, there are powerful magics that can regrow things.
I'm aware, but one step at a time.
Yes, this is just a suggestion. Again, I am doing what little I can within the realms of my restrictions. Bring pastries and alcohol.
Done. All right. Well, even be, I'm going to go visit the quartermaster's office and requisition pastries and alcohol. I can't believe I get to officially requisition pastries and alcohol.
Magnus, for the past several days, though for you, you have no idea how long time has passed, as, well, you've been unconscious. But in your unconsciousness, it hasn't just been a black void you've been drifting in. No, you have been living the stories of the heroes that dwelled within that tapestry that once existed around your neck.
Oh.
And finally, after living the story of that Goliath general that held off, and in a truly endless wave of ghouls that try to assail the city of Ishigar, you find yourself face to face with you, or rather a version of you that is woven from thread and fabric in the art style of the tapestry.
Hello?
Well, isn't this surprising?
It is. Am I dreaming?
We must be.
What's happening?
Your guess is as good as mine. I don't really know as much as you do.
Kind of wish you were a book and that you could tell me things.
Yeah, no, that's Amadeus's shtick.
So Magnus is going to look around. Is there like anything in the surroundings, or is it just sort of like a void?
Yeah, you are seeing your childhood home.
Oh, damn. Been a long time since I've been here. Magnus is going to reach out for some of like the well-worn swamp wood furniture.
So what are we going to do?
I don't know, wake up eventually, I guess.
After we wake up. Because
it's kind of a big question.
Well, we don't have the heroes with us anymore.
Yeah, but and Magnus is going to reflect on all of these tales that he now have been like ingrained into him. We don't have the heroes, but we have their stories.
And what about our story? Does it end once we get out of here? Or...
I hope not.
Good.
Maybe our story is just beginning.
Well, isn't that wonderful? Because I was wondering if that is what we would do, because we did always inspire to be more than just a warrior. I suppose a hero is a good aspiration.
What do heroes do?
Save people. And you've got two friends that need saving constantly.
Yeah, they really do. I should spar with Tanwyn more.
Yeah.
I don't know if that will help. I mean, we've watched her do some very strange things.
Yeah.
She ate an eyeball. No amount of sparring could stop that.
That looked tempting, though. We shouldn't have eaten an eyeball. Is that something a hero would have done? It's very brave.
As much as I want to say no, I can't deny that probably.
Tenwin's a hero.
That's your takeaway from that.
No, I think the future's bright.
Good. Then I think we have stories to tell.
Mm, and stories to make.
Come along then. And as yourself says that, the world begins to unravel.
Mm-hmm.
And though in your mind it had not been dark before, suddenly you were presented with a fair bit more light than what you had been interacting with for goodness knows how long. And yeah, as your sight adjusts, you realize that you are in a stone room lit by candles.
Oh.
In a bed. Surrounded by this cocoon of red threads that you are currently pulling yourself out of like a silkworm.
But the Magnus is going to start tearing off the red threads, throwing them around, getting up. I assume he's in his wilderness sleeping, which is...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. He's like, what the...
You are in what you went to bed in.
Hey, Arbideus! The cocoon is moving!
Oh!
Arbideus!
Yes!
The cocoon is moving!
I'm coming, jeez! I was just... Go away for 2 seconds.
I know, you always miss the good part. Tanwin's going to start ripping at the cocoon as well.
Hey, Magnus.
How are you feeling?
Good. Why'd you put me in a cocoon?
Oh, you did that to yourself, I think, my boy.
Unfortunately, that is all the time that we have at the moment. There is more to this story that will be shared when next we meet.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.